What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is June 25th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. We have Chase Burns making his MLB debut, where the Reds Burns grows. That is our SP Roundup title today, and 5 innings, 3 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 8 Ks was the final result over 81 pitches, just 12 whiffs. But my gosh, did you watch it live on Playback.tv last night? With the entire PitcherList community, it was so much fun, and we were freaking out because it's first 2 innings, he had 6 strikeouts. He struck out the first 5 batters he faced, and we're also going to watch today on playback.tv/PitcherList at 2 p.m. Eastern time, so about 2 hours after I'm recording this. I'm going to be watching it with Eno Saris, Jacob Mizorowski versus Paul Skeens. We're going to be doing the live broadcast podcast of The Craft, so come on by 2 p.m. Eastern time, PitcherList. Sorry, playback.tv/PitcherList. And keep in mind, that's a free game of the day. So if you don't have MLB.tv, you'll be able to watch it. So just do it. What are you doing, MLB? They do it. Okay, Chase Burns. How do I feel about him? Long story short, I feel what we got is actually a more refined pitcher than we normally see from MLB debuts. He has a four-seamer and a slider that he's able to throw a good amount of strikes with, generally able to also execute a game plan. That is the four-seamer going upstairs and the slider in the zone. It could be a little bit better going down and glove side, but generally very good. The changeup also appeared a little bit. It was down when it was against lefties. We saw one curveball, but it really was not much different movement from the slider, just a lot slower. I don't really love it, but we'll probably see an expansion of his arsenal over time. The changeup is cool. I don't know how dependable it is, but I think it's a very good addition against lefties. But here's the thing. Chase Burns throws 98 or so. I don't really know what velocity he's going to settle at, because when you see MLB debuts, you see harder velocity early, and then they get gassed later because they have too much adrenaline and they overexert early. And then when the adrenaline wears off, maybe later in the start, they don't have as much energy as they normally do. It's a very typical thing. So I'm going to say it's 98. It is also a very good vert four-seamer. It was 19 plus inches of vert early. It fell down to about 17 and change later. We're going to say it's about 17 to 18 inches of vert. At 98 miles per hour, gorgeous, right? It is a steep attack angle. It is a average extension. What this means is that it's actually not going to be that routine double-digit whiff pitch that we've seen of like Jared Jones or Spencer Strider in his peak, Jacob Mizorowski, those kinds of guys. However, it is not his whiff pitch. That is his slider. The slider is up to 93, as we saw against Trent Grisham, a beautiful one in that first inning. But really, it settled down to be like 90, okay? And a 90 mile per hour slider that has massive difference. This isn't like a cutter that's disguised as a slider. This is a slider. Huge drop from that four seamer, and also not that close in velocity. It is not like 94. It is, or 95. It is really 90, which means that that 8 mile per hour drop and also the physical drop makes it really tough to adjust if you're gearing up for a high heater. So this is a double digit whiff potential machine. And I love that. I do have some concerns about the hittability of his four-seamer. And I saw 6 whiffs last night. It especially got easier the second time through the lineup for the Yankees. He's also in Great American Ballpark. So I do think we're going to get a little bit of the home run bug at times from Chase Burns. I think the floor is different than someone like Jacob Mizorowski, where it's more of an ERA floor. While for Mizorowski, it's more of a whip floor. And I also think that Chase Burns is going to go deeper into games. I think he's much more refined and able to handle his control more than Mizorowski. Even though Mizorowski's done good for 2 games, there is a lot more general wildness with being so lanky. So I like Chase Burns. I think he should be really good. I'm very curious to see how he develops from here. But him versus Mizorowski is a very interesting conversation of overwhelming stuff with Mizorowski, where this is very, very good stuff and still excellent. Just not quite, oh my gosh, everything you throw is just insane and tough to hit. All right, we have Framber Valdez going 7 innings and 0 runs for its 4 walks and 3 strikeouts, but just 3 whiffs. He had a sub 50% strike rate on his curveball, was just a 44%. And if you remember, that is the miracle pitch for him. But he still went 7 innings of shutout ball. How? Changeup really stepped up. It was really good, 65% strikes. He got double plays, as Inside Edge actually was inside over chat yesterday giving us stats. Yeah, Framber Valdez top 10 with Hunter Brown in ground ball double plays induced this year. Not too much of a shocker there, but he's not quite an ace with 3 whiffs, 4 walks, and 3 Ks, right? We hope that the curveball should come back, even though this was against the Phillies. We hope it comes back. Garrett Crochet, ace is going to ace, my gosh. 7 innings of 0 runs, 10 Ks. He's at 17 inches of vert now. What? You're supposed to be like the 14-inch guy with extension that is over 7 feet or so. Now you're at 6.8 extension, which is fine. I'll take it. That's cool. But 17 inches of vert, it's like, oh my gosh. And you're throwing 96, 97? Okay. He's insane. He also has a full 4-pitch mix now. Oof. Taj Bradley against the Royals had a game of Koufax, 6.2 innings of 0 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. This is weird. I don't want to touch Taj Bradley, okay? You already know this, he's a hipster. Carlos Rodon was on the opposite of, well, he was against Chase Burns, and he went 6 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts. Awesome. 36% CSW. And he didn't get the win because the Yankees eventually, they blew this and they lost in extra innings. He did get King Cole here. This was an interesting one because the four-seamer was only able to, it was the only pitch that was above a 53% strike rate. The slider had a lot of non-competitive ones. The changeup was very effective for him, but it was ultimately about a 51% strike rate. Very strange, but he really did just hammer in the four-seamer and then go underneath, middle and low. There's only one definitive high four-seamer. It was barely high. So a very strange outing for Carlos Rodon. He tried to live lower than usual. And I don't really have any sort of concerns. I mean, the line was still great. It's because it was the Reds mostly, but no concerns here whatsoever. We love this. Frankie Montas Jr., he showed up. He is making his first start for the Mets this year. 5 innings of 0 runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 5 Ks. He gets the gold star. I had no expectations for this. This was still ill. He's going against Atlanta. And also, when healthy, Frankie Montas is like, I don't know if this is going to be any good. And if it is good, it's not really that good. Kind of like this, right? It was 6 base runners with 3 walks and 5 Ks. I mean, still obviously productive. Didn't get a win. But what happened here? Well, let me tell you. His splitter that has been a major pitch for him. Yeah, that was just 1 out of 9 strikes. The 4-seamer, which is generally like, hey, cool, I'm going to rely on Koufax here, returned all of his 9 whiffs. All of them. 9 whiffs, 9 for 27 on whiffs for the 4-seamer for Frankie Montas. He was initially going really hard with it, as we talked about with adrenaline before. He's hitting 97. And he settled in right about 96 and change. And a really high high lock. It was about 60% high lock, while it was around like 45% or so last year. So is he going to be able to hold on to that command? You also have the sinker coming down underneath it. He is not an extension guy. He's like 6 or so with that. And it's pretty empty velocity across the board with mediocre vert and attack angle, all that kind of stuff. Like, no, this is really just 4 seamers that were upstairs with the sinkers falling underneath. A little bit of confusion there with Atlanta. And he had a slider, I guess, and a splitter, I guess. I mean, this is all it was. I'm not really buying this. However, he does get the Pirates next. Fine. All right, we'll pick him up for the Pirates, see if there's really anything else that we can really latch onto, but I can't do it. Germán Márquez has a 2.63 ERA across his last 7 starts. Oh my gosh. It was also 4 innings of 0 runs and 6 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks, but it was against the Dodgers. I mean, that's still ridiculous. And props to him for 41% CSW on the curveball, which acted like a 0-0 gyro slider at 85. I mean, it could be Coors doing that a little bit, but that's just wild. Ranger Suarez against the Astros, 7.2 innings of 1 run, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 7 Ks. Didn't get the win because of Valdez on the other side. But man, he's been on such a tear. He was on the IL and had that still little game of 3.2 innings. If you remember, if you go back on the roundup, and by the way, you can read every single roundup I've written on a pitcher in their game log. You just got to go to their player page and just click the row. You'll see the first one auto-expanded just to help you out. You can just see what I wrote on each one, and then you can click on SP Roundup to go to that full article. It's pretty great. And you'll see, if you look at that first one for Ranger Suarez, that I was encouraged. I thought, wait, hold on a second. I think he's commanding really well. And when Ranger Suarez commands really well, you just hold on to when as long as it goes, and it's still going. So he's been really underrated, as he's just been a stud for the last, 7-8 weeks. I know it won't last. It won't. It shouldn't through the end of the year, but yeah, I got to keep raising him up on the list because this is just crazy. Eric Lauer against the Guardians. Do I trust this? 5.1 innings of 1 run, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 5 strikeouts? Not really, no. I don't really think that any of these are that good. The heater wasn't in the lower third. The curve wasn't in the upper third, so it's kind of a Blake Snell blueprint, but there are a lot of them in the middle. Sliders all around everywhere, some cutters. It was just I guess he threw strikes. That's all I got. I don't think this four seamer is very good. He's just locating enough upstairs. I guess there's enough deception with what he throws, but nah, I'm not going to go with Eric Lauer there. Ryan Nelson is more encouraging to me. He went against the White Sox, 5 innings of 1 earned run and just 1 hit, 3 walks and 7 Ks. Sure, there is some blaming on the White Sox. Absolutely. But his four seamer is a very legitimate pitch. 16% swing strike rate with 11 over 68 whiffs. So to get that kind of swing strike rate while throwing it 68 times is very legit. You also have 19 to 20 inches of vert on that fastball. Yeah, it's not the 21 to 22 that we saw in the last game in Toronto. Fine, Ryan Nelson. Okay, I'll still take 19 to 20. And he's at 95-96 with above average extension and an average height adjusted VAA. All of that is great. But he didn't really spot it that well. It was kind of in the middle. Some of them got upstairs. Some of them were low. Fine. Do you have something else? He did kind of. It was 13 curveballs for 8 for 13 strikes, which makes it a 62% strike rate. However, if he just misses one curve, it becomes a 54% and it's all of a sudden way different perception, right? And that's really just to say, yeah, Ryan Nelson does not have a really sustainable number two pitch yet, okay? And that's the annoying part too. He gets the Giants next and it's actually a very easy schedule for a while. So I think I'm going to go in some more with Ryan Nelson because, yeah, we're seeing that great vert. We're seeing that four-seamer succeed inside the zone. And he's trying to figure out that secondary. If he does get that secondary, I really think there is going to be a long run here for Ryan Nelson in the matchups. Even though I'm a little hesitant to go against the Giants, I feel like it should work out for you over the next few weeks. All right, we have other guys to talk about. Justin Rybolski pitched in bulk. We have Chris Bubich and Jacob Latz. Who pitched no hit ball, and we're going to talk about that and many others after this break. Tyler Anderson against the Red Sox, 4.2 innings of 1 earned run, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts. He couldn't just go one more out. Oh my gosh. He got the change of rolling up outs as he does, and the cutter returned a sub 50% strike rate. Whatever. I'm happy you didn't get destroyed against the Red Sox. I'm not going for him in the two-step next week against Atlanta and the Jays because the Jays are too good against lefties and Atlanta is too questionable. I think if you can only do that one, okay, maybe. You have Justin Rybolski, known as Robo. He went 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 7 strikeouts. The velocity gain that I saw before was held. It was like 96.7, and I was shocked to see over 97. Actually went up to 98 before. I'll take 96.7. That's fine, especially as your leader pitch. This was 38% usage, which is really cool. 16 to 17 inches of vert in normal times because it was 13 inches in cores, which is, you know, it's minus 3 to 3.5 inches of vert in cores. Just understand that. So seeing 13 in cores is like, whoa, hey, that's pretty good. You have the sinker and the cutter over the plate and sliders and changeups and curves or whatever. That's really the problem here for Rybolski is what else are you going to offer outside of that four-seamer? And I'm not quite sure, however, if he is starting again, or at least being a bulk, I don't know what the Dodgers are doing. They're so weird and maddening. It would be against the White Sox. So I'm really cool with that one, especially as a bulk, which means the win chance will be higher, which he did get here despite Marquez doing everything he tried. Unearned runs, oh man. But yeah, I think I'm in on that with Rybolski because of that velocity, and hopefully something else shows up. You have Jordan Leisure for the White Sox opening for Mike Vassell. And went 5.1 innings, a 1 earned run, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 1 strike. And how am I supposed to butter my bread with that? Congrats, buddy. That's cool. Yeah, you had Koufax helping out against the sinker in play. And that's really it. You don't want that. Chris Bubich against the Rays. 6 innings of 2 earned runs, 8 hits, 0 walks, and 8 strikeouts. There is a sense that the sparkle is starting to fade a little bit from Bubich as he went 2 for 15 whiffs on his changeup. The sweeper and the slider each had a 42% CSW, but that really isn't the impetus typically, right? The catalyst. The velocity is at 91.7. At least it's not like 91.3 or so, but it's not 93. It's like a little bit worse. So I'm likely going to pull down Chris Bubich into the cherry bomb tier, I think, on the list. Not because like the result is bad, but I'm starting to get this sense of, yeah, this isn't the overwhelming, dominant, incredible Bubich. He allowed a home run to Jansen. I mean, come on. Can't be that good, right? It does. I feel like this is the one that is more likely to bust of all the ones who have done really well so far. You have Jacob Latz against the Orioles. 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 1 hit, 3 walks, 4 Ks. And by the way, Andrew Abbott's really the answer to that previous question. But Jacob Latz, oh my gosh. He allowed a walk in a single, then a walk in the 7th, and then got pulled. And of course, both runners came around to score. Fine. But through 6 innings, he had 0 hits and 2 walks. Okay? And 4 strikeouts. Incredible. What he's doing here is he has a changeup that when he gets it down, it's really nice, but most of these are actually away to right-handers. 64% strike rate, 6 over 25 whiffs, we'll take that. There is a 95 mile per hour heater at 17 to 18 inches of vert, which is actually a little bit down, about an inch from what we normally see. And I don't really love that he isn't so good at getting that upstairs. We also have some sinkers in there too that kind of works. Really, the thing I like the most here is that the slider actually did more to lefties than I expected. 35% CSW overall. I was kind of worried that he wouldn't really have that. And he did have some also against righties. And Jacob Latz, as a 95 mile per hour southpaw with good vert on that fastball, with a changeup that misses bats and a slider that takes out lefties and can also be used against righties, that is a really good combination. The question is more about the command moving forward, and also what are the Rangers going to do? I don't know. They have Eovaldi coming back this week. It's supposed to be Tyler Mahle in about a week as well. Does Latz get pushed out? It's not clear at the moment. I mean, Patrick Corbin, come on. There's also Jack Leiter. There's Kumar Rocker. I don't know what's going to happen here with the Rangers, but I really wish that they do keep Jacob Latz in there. You have Cal Quantrill against the Giants. 4.2 innings of 200 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks, and whatever. We're not going to touch Cal Quantrill. Logan Allen didn't do well against the Jays because, yeah. I mean, he had a ton of foul balls on his four-seamer. Across 5.2 innings of 300-run ball with 10 base runners and 4 Ks. 14 over 34 foul balls on that four-seamer. Okay. You don't want to be going after Logan Allen. Spencer Strider, interesting one against the Mets. Right, every single game, it feels like we're trying to get a little bit more extra information. 5 innings, 3 runs, 2 hits, 4 walks, 8 strikeouts. So you're okay with it? You got the win? Right, 120 whip with a 540 ERA and 8 strikeouts. By the way, I've been saying 300 runs and 5 innings is 520 ERA. I apologize, it's 540. We have 15 whiffs here against the Mets. And you're thinking, okay, he's totally back. Not really. The wheels fell off a bit. We saw 94 by the end of this. His vert also fell to 15 to 16 inches. Not what we want. It's supposed to be like 17 plus. His slider command that we saw previously in the last two games, 52% strikes. It wasn't so bad, but it wasn't this I am going to dominate fastball, right? I'm worried about the four-seamer command as well. I am not too concerned about the velocity dipping because I think over time, Spencer Strider will improve his stamina. This is what we normally see. Guys come back and they need a little bit extra time to be able to have that consistent velocity through 91 pitches. Right? Even Shane Smith jumping into the rotation, we saw him get his velocity sustained finally through the year. I think we're going to see that eventually for Spencer Strider, but it's about locating that four-seamer too. Are you going to be able to actually get that upstairs and then do a proper Blake Snell blueprint with four-seamers and sliders, or is it just kind of be this overall mess? And is it going to be at 96 or is it going to be at 97? So I'm still down on Strider relative to him being like a top 15 starter. I feel like he's in the realm of Cherry Bomb at the moment. I'm probably going to lower him, I think, on the list into that tier with Bubic and with Cease, with Peralta, that kind of tier. And maybe Mizorowski. I don't know. Who would you rather have, Spencer Strider or Jacob Mizorowski? That's a very good question. And, of course, running into that a little bit today on playback.tv as we watch Mizorowski go, but I don't think we'll have a good answer for a while. You have Justin Verlander against the Marlins. What we're trying to see is for him to get back to 95 and sitting that with his fastball and then have a high velocity like 88, 89 on a slider that's down and in, or really down to glove side and keeping that four-seamer up. We did get 88 on, really 89 maybe on that slider. And he had decent locations on it, but it was just 3 for 18 whiffs. And the four-seamer was at 93.8, 54% strike rate. And he didn't really locate it well, right? 5 innings, 300 runs here total. 6 base runners, 5 Ks. It was Peel Bot's pick of the day. We gave it a loss because Verlander got a loss, but the only good thing is 5 strikeouts, 120 whip, 540 ERA, not worth it. And he does get the White Sox next. I guess I'm okay with that. I feel like Verlander's not going to go 54% strikes there, but otherwise I wouldn't go for this. Charlie Morton, he has been on a tear, and it wasn't one here. 5 innings, 3 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. He had an annoying fourth frame where there was a walk, a pair of singles, and then a fielder's choice and a sac fly, and that collectively was all 3 runs. And that's it. That's the only damage of the day. It wasn't overwhelmingly good. 8 whiffs and 3 Ks, right? 21% CSW, 100 pitches. He's going to get the Rangers again, and I think the Morton's going to have a little bit better command with that curveball than he did here. You have Freddy Peralta getting a win against the Pirates. 5 innings of 8 strikeouts, but it's also 7 hits and 0 walks and 3 Ks. Sorry, three earned runs. So it's kind of a dusty donut. And remember that Freddy Peralta performs as he does regardless of the opponent. There were way too many pitches way down the middle, really the curve. The four-seamer was actually kind of better than usual. It was more around the zone and not as Professor Chaosy. And the slider had some moments maybe down, maybe some changeups. But like, to me, Freddy Peralta just won't ever be firing at all cylinders. And that's just kind of what we accept. Ryan Burgert had a comebacker in this one. He's apparently okay. But 3 innings of 3 runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, 4 Ks against the Nationals. I mean, he's a right-hander against the lefty, again, lefty-heavy lineup of the Nationals. And it's just not really a budding pitcher that you really want to go for with Burgert. Only really against a right-handed lineup with his four-seamer and a slider. Tarek Skubal against the Athletics got the win. 6 innings of 4 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 8 Ks. Oh, no. Well, he allowed a pair of 2-run shots. Okay. 97.3 in the velocity of the fastball. Everything is good there. He's at 96.5 last time. You should feel totally fine, guys. Tarek Skubal. Chris Paddock had a much better game. Last time we saw a huge drop in extension and in velocity. And it was 5 innings, 4 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. Yes, you don't like those earned runs. I get it. But 94, 19 inches of vert, 7.1 feet of extension, all right? He has the harder slider, 88, 89. And that was cool. He allowed a pair of hits, fine, but had 3 of his 4 strikeouts. He did not allow a long ball off of it. And the changeup, really the split change that is a splitter, went 0 for 14 whiffs. Fine. There's your difference maker. This is Detroit and the Rays and Pirates and in cores on the horizon. I am going to run Chris Paddock out there unless we see massive changes in the fastball along the way. And Trevor Williams went, and remember, never Trevor. 5 innings of 4 runs and 9 base runners and 3 Ks. Luis Castillo opposite Paddock for the Mariners. 5 innings, 5 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks. We're starting to see that fear come to life a bit with Castillo as he wasn't able to just dominate with his four-seamer upstairs. Righty saw more sinkers and they weren't well spotted. While the slider and the changeup did not make up for the fact that the four-seamer was not really a big offering in this one. Those two breaking balls, or actually those two secondaries, went 4 over 37 whiffs, and that's just not enough. Right? And now you're going to get the Rangers and the Pirates, which I think you're fine for, but that's the Yankees and Astros, and I just get the feeling that, like, after those next two, I'm not in. I know a lot of people actually already moved on from Castillo. You might actually be okay with that. It's not really been overwhelmingly good. This is not the old Castillo right now. So, I don't feel like you need to hold on to Castillo, but I'm okay for the next two. I think it's just not really going to get that much better. Michael McGreevy is a command-focused guy, and he did have good sinkers to right-handers for the most part. But everything else was not very good, especially to lefties against the Cubs. But hey, it was the Cubs. We weren't going to start him anyway. I do wonder if they are going to start McGreevy. They had a 6-man rotation for this to give some more rest for the Cardinals pitchers. And here he went 4.2 innings of 5 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? But he could get the Pirates next. And if that is a 6-man, he would get them. If it's not, he's gone. I don't know what they plan to do. But if he does get the Pirates, I would roll with that with McGreevy. If it is against the Guardians, which I don't think it would happen, it would be too soon to go against the Guardians. I take that back. It would just be the Pirates if he were to go again. I'm okay with that as a stream in the questionable start tier. Luis Severino against the Tigers. 5 innings of 7 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 2 Ks. I remember hearing once, oh, just start Severino outside of Sacraverde. Well, I mean, Tigers aren't the shabbiest of offenses. But you have the fastball that is just not good, honestly, both the four-seamer and the sinker. So he's trying to do so much with the sweeper, and the cutter isn't being a large impact either. So we don't like this. I don't want to go with Severino. I don't want to go with Andrew Heaney either. He went 700 runs against Milwaukee in 4 innings with 7 hits, 3 walks, and 3 Ks. No thank you. Just don't do it. And Jameson Taillon, man, I feel so bad about this. I just feel for him because his sweeper and cutter have let him down a bit against right-handers. And against lefties, that was actually his major improvement was four-seamers up, curveballs down with changeups also down. And yeah, that was not the case. Fastballs and curveballs were all over the place, the lefties, and he's just not in a good place. You just take a break from Taillon right now and hope that he will return to form in the future. But Nick, he gets at Houston next. The PL bot likes that PLV projections say that's a good matchup. You don't want to do that. It's at Houston and then the Cardinals and then the Yankees in the Bronx and then the Red Sox away from Fenway in St. Louis. I think that's the start I would circle. And that's also assuming that he is going at that time post All-Star break. So it might be a little bit different. But anyway, that is it for today's edition of the Plus Pitch Podcast. Thank you all so much for your support. We're going to be here all season long. So make sure you get the best tools for your fantasy leagues with PL Pro. Process Plus rolling charts. My sit and start grid for 2 weeks. You have an extra day of streaming options ranked for you as well. You get an ad-free website, daily and weekly fantasy projections, the Live Fantasy app that lets you track StatCast data live, and also extra data that you don't get on the Savant site. All licensed and is beautiful to look at. And of course, you get our Discord, which is the best baseball community on the internet. I'm not even kidding. We are G-rated. We do not call humans trash or anything like that. We treat each other with respect. It is just smart people, good-natured people hanging out. You should be here. So come on by, go get PL Pro, and you can get 15% off with promo code PODCAST. Sign up today, pitcherlist.com/premium. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock. And may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.